This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 251 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with Brian Taberner, Director of Planning and Community Development. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talk about how the planning work, along with that of the Planning Board, Conservation Committee, and Zoning Board of Appeals, is making progress in this new normal of the pandemic world in virtual meetings. Much of the current meeting agendas cover projects or matters that are already underway. They have held off on initiating new projects with public hearings for now. The fear is to be able to conduct the business in this new manner and not have the results later challenged. Our discussion also covers the major projects: Master Plan Update, Hazard Mitigation Plan, Economic Plan from the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, etc., and how these are currently delayed as well until we figure out how to incorporate public access, including for those hearing impaired individuals. How do their needs get met via a Zoom meeting? Attempting to end the conversation other than a down note, we also talked about the Franklin Downtown Partnership efforts and other good opportunities that are rising to attempt to fill the gaps. This recording runs around 32 minutes, so let's listen to my conversation with Brian. So Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM, with Brian Taberner, Planning Director, actually Director of Planning and Community Development, or Community and Planning Development. I always get tongue-tied around that, Brian.
Planning and Community Development, correct. Well, thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate it. I want to thank you for the great stuff that you do for the community, including what you're doing right now, and I appreciate it. And a lot of people are very impressed that we have somebody in our community that can do what you're doing, and you do it so naturally, it seems, and you're very consistent with it. So I just want to put that in there.
Thank you.
I don't know if the quiet people behind the recorders and things that sometimes don't get the credit, and you definitely deserve it.
Well, thank you. I certainly, as I've said in other places, and I think you and I have discussed, I enjoy what I'm doing. It's kind of natural. We certainly, as we were talking before, I've been on virtual conference calls and running meetings from a work perspective. Now that I'm retired, I'm just doing this again, which is not exactly what I was expecting to do. Instead of having kind of my portable recording studio, now I have a virtual one. But, you know, okay, I'll go with the flow. But you know, the bottom line is clearly people need to know what's going on. And as you and others within the town are continuing to do the good stuff, as long as you do that, then I've got something to share and keep busy with. So thank you.
Very true. Yeah. Yes. It's everybody knows it's a different world. Working from home, I was just realized, I looked at my calendar, my work calendar the other day. I have not been in Franklin in almost a month now.
Wow.
Which is bizarre. I work at Franklin, okay?
Yes.
But I actually haven't been there.
Yeah.
So I mean, the concept of, you know, what are you missing out of your job? I mean, I suppose that you just take a ride in just to see the town, make sure it hasn't changed too much. But it is really, you know, we have good people doing good things, and they are in town and they're doing everything. But as it works out, I don't actually have to be there very often. The remote meetings and all the other things that are going on.
Sure.
You managed to do it somehow.
Yeah. So that's a good segue. Clearly, you are doing a whole lot remotely. Obviously, that's a little bit different from what you were doing in the office, but you're certainly able to accomplish a lot remotely.
Well, my job, yeah. I really think that I managed to get things done. I remember when I was talking to Jamie Holland before we actually had to leave the office, if you will, and work remotely. And he was saying, well, you know, if you work at home, you should be able to get a half a day's worth of work done every day, right? You know, because you can't expect that it's going to be perfect. Some weeks, you know, at first it was getting it set up. For after a while, right. You know, you get the hang of it and everything. For the first couple of weeks, it was not a very productive time, for sure. And figuring out how the other people, or how are we going to run the meetings remotely, and of course Zoom and all of the other issues that I never heard of Zoom going into this. So, you know, 6 weeks ago, I didn't know it existed.
Right.
Now they've pretty much Should have bought stock 6 weeks ago.
Should have bought stock probably about 6 months ago.
It's true.
Yeah.
And but we managed to get things done. We have a couple times a week. I have staff meetings. 10 o'clock on a Tuesday, 10 o'clock on a Thursday on a regular basis. I talk with everybody in my department, talk about their projects and the meetings coming up and the bills that got to be paid and anything else that has to be done. Every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, we have the technical staff meeting, which we always had to do at room 205 in municipal building. It was every Wednesday at 3. Now we do it, but it's remotely. Same people showing up and the same issues. Jamie has added into our regular meeting every Friday there's a department head meeting. Because right. That way
kind of department
he gets,
staff
to, he gets to know what everybody's doing.
Sure.
It's a good way, I think, just doing it that way, you don't lose track of that much. I mean, you can get caught. Oh, I should have done that Tuesday or whatever, and you end up. It's an easy way to get going because when you're working at home, you don't have the regular reminders in front of you. Hanging on my wall that I was supposed to remember to do, or whatever the case may be, or right. I walk by other people that I told somebody I'd do something. It's a different world. I mean, sure, you write things down, but. You've seen my office at town hall. It's mountains of papers. Well, sure. I've managed to keep my 99% of my work on a computer. I mean, that's right since I've been here, which is for me that's a different world.
That's absolutely.
It's mind boggling that I'm actually doing it because I'm you print out a plan, you'll do all these things, and you want to. Edit a 5-page document. You print the 5-page out. You turn forget about the computer for a while, and you go back. I have been forcing myself not to do that, and seems to be working out. But
it is a different way of doing business, and I think as you've started figuring out, you just need to develop kind of the new routines of what do I need to
absolutely.
Do and keep the schedule of some sort, the to-do list of some sort. As I visualize your program, your department's operation, you're effectively running multiple projects. And as a former project manager, you always had the to-do list, you always had the Gantt charts, et cetera. So you just have to keep track of all of those things. And that's where, the individuals in your department need to report in on, what's going here, what's going there. So that you can tell Jamie and who work with the other stakeholders as they need be across the, because you're in one of those central, clearly planning sparks anyway, where you do touch a lot of departments based upon what work is coming to you.
Right. Well, yeah, my department actually, the conservation end of things, we have great conservation people. Our conservation agent is awesome, but she, to do her job properly, she should be on the road in people's backyards and communicating a lot. For a long time, I don't think I told her not to go out there when it started. Until we get a really good feel of what's happening, don't go on anybody's property. Just, you want to sit in your car in the street, take a look at something. Just the other day, she went and did a field visit, a site visit, talked with the owner in advance and everything. And then she gets there and the person's starting to walk towards a big smile and about to go, within a couple feet of her and says, wait. Wait a minute. I guess it was more of a, that's not a big deal. Well, it is to me, it's a conservation. She was. The other person not going to take it seriously, but
right.
I know that Gus Brown, our building commissioner. I mean, he's got his hands full with that inspection.
Sure,
and it's really send out a lot of the stuff. Our developers sending photos of things instead of them actually being inside of a building inspecting.
Yep.
They've had to change everything.
Yeah,
in our planning. And one of the big problems, of course, is to actually run a public meeting.
Yes.
When you have a public discussion on something that you could make a decision on, you really need it to be a truly public discussion. You really need the public input.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Zoom is a good tool and there's similar ones out there like it, it's obviously not perfect. And it obviously can be challenged in some cases. If so, the Planning Board and Conservation Commission are having a hard time on the public hearing process. And if somebody wants to get a permit or something, or a special permit or whatever the case may be, they're we're kind of saying, well, we know you want this done immediately, but, you know, how do we do it to make it really not challenged, you know?
Correct.
And if one looks like an easy project, do we want to take that one first and say, yeah, we'll take this one when the other people, the more challenging projects, they'll get more public input. We really can't choose the easy project. The ones that have been there longer are the ones that should be getting the attention. Yeah. And the ones that, so we will have a backup, a substantial backup on the Planning Board. And by the beginning of May, we're going to have to figure out a way, have public hearings that are going to work. Right now, we're doing general business and we're doing a public hearing. Last Monday, we did one on one of the zoning map changes.
Correct. And, yeah, the plot line stuff that's been going through.
But when you're doing something on a special permit for some kind of a use that is not allowed by right in an area, you have to make sure that all the adjacent property owners have the ability to multiple ways, essentially, to have participation. And if they can't be in the same room, it's very challenging.
It is.
And
it
I know that's town council's doing that too. And
oh yeah, I mean, it's not something that's just a Franklin issue, because clearly in the call it the BCE right. world before Corona era, access was defined as you had a public meeting. Anybody could walk in the door, walk into the room, and then participate in the meeting. Now you're still having a public meeting, but the access is not walking in the door. You've got to have the technology, whether it's a mobile unit or a desktop, to be able to connect to either a Zoom meeting, Google Hangout, et cetera. And is that access really sufficient? Right. And that's kind of the legal question that's beyond us. To a certain extent, we're going to need some help resolving that. And then in the meeting, then there's going to be some other technical management tools and just protocols. You know, as we were talking, clearly the chair is going to have to conduct the meeting, but to a certain extent, at least in having my corporate background where I was running a bunch of meetings, you also had kind of a meeting facilitator to, you know, make sure people were connected, make sure people were on either muted or unmuted, et cetera. And I don't see that being done in a single person role. That I think is beyond the capability of, you know, some of the experts who have been in the business world, never mind trying to ask a government volunteer person to try and do that, you know, on the fly. But in order to do that, then whether it's the bylaws or the protocols or the process, that needs to get changed and then certainly agreed to and then followed. And it may not come out of the gate the first time. We may have to adjust it as we go.
Yeah, of course, the state is, they have given guidance and changed, relieved of some responsibility related to some of these things. But it's still the issue of will something, a decision is reached and somebody can come back and challenge it a lot easier than previously. And
correct.
I think that's it. Another issue which we don't come into, we don't get a lot of, is if somebody wanted to go to a public meeting and they're deaf, for instance.
Sure.
Right? So they would contact us and we would set up somebody to come in and sign, for instance, or whatever, any kind of a special need,
sure,
for instance.
Accommodations.
How do we do that on Zoom? That's going to be a challenge. I mean,
absolutely.
Think about it. Yeah, I that'll be something. I matter of fact, the Maple Hills, the subdivision that will be coming up in the very near future, had one person, one of the neighbors, wanted the last time when it was a preliminary subdivision. Now they're going to come back with a definitive. I imagine that individual will want to be able to participate in these meetings.
And yes.
So those are challenges that we just don't know how to deal with them yet. We're no. taking it a minute at a time. And I guess that's really the, you know, there are many things we can't do, obviously, in the world right. and to make in this perfect world. There are a lot of things we can get done. I'm very happy with everybody in my department that they can continue on in all the different departments. So you say the treasurer's office and, you know, the controllers and assessors and everybody's going to do things different now.
Mm-hmm.
But we yep. communicate, we still communicate, but how do we do a, let's just say everybody on their butter, all the abutters need a letter, the public hearing notice sent mm-hmm. to them, you know, a hard copy letter. I mean, we've had, this is the rules. How do we do that when we've got people sitting at home with no means really to do it other than going in, you know, to actually pay for all the envelopes and all the different
sure.
things. And
yes.
Those type of things we nearly are, we're still struggling with.
No, I agree.
When we go advertise the next zoning bylaw change that I have, for instance, and say the zoning map, we have one coming, the next one's coming up, had about 25 parcels on it, and probably 300 people abutting properties within 300 feet. A lot of times we go just the adjacent property owners to make mm-hmm. sure. So we might cut it down to 200, but that's 200 letters that got to go
sure.
out.
Yeah.
And having somebody sitting at their home doing that is very challenging to do. So those are the kind of things that we're still
yeah.
working out.
Certainly. And from a physical work perspective, then you'd also think, perhaps then it certainly would have to be some planning if depending upon how this goes to change the budget next year so that you can tap into use and see, assuming it's available and could be set up obviously under the right restrictions and protocols to have, you know, an outsourced, you know, you send a letter to somebody and they mail it for you because you can't do that mass quantity
Absolutely.
Printing at somebody's home where you could do that in the office because you had the facilities to do so.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing if you're just going to be doing a, you know, a regular first class mail, but we send a lot of our butters notes of certified mail.
Sure.
So
yes.
it can get very, very expensive. So I can't very well have, but you know, Kathy, I'll reimburse you later. Just, you know, go into debt by several hundred dollars and then we'll pay you. I can't do that to them. So we'll have to,
yeah.
but you're right. I mean, I'm thinking about there are services out there and there are, you know, plenty of things. So maybe that's the way we have to go.
Yep.
Get them
in
everything we
world.
Need, give them the list and tell them this has got to go out certified, send me a bill.
Yep.
I guess that's what we might have to do. So.
Yeah, because you'd still be on the hook at least to develop the letter, but you'd have to do that anyway. So you could do that, send them the PDF.
And,
yeah, sure. send them the PDF and the Excel or whatever spreadsheet file of the addresses, and they put it together.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think one of the things is we would do, normally would do, say you do a mailing, and we do this all the time, but that's part of another person's job. It's a little piece. It does not add to the cost of running your department more than a couple of bucks,
yep.
really. But if you end up with outside services doing it, obviously your budget is going to have to be increased.
Yeah.
The cost of doing business goes up like that.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's not, you know, it's not like a person's job isn't there anymore because they still have everything else they have to do. It was just mm-hmm. that little add-on challenge.
Right. So we talked about a bunch of things you are doing and some things you can't. Are there other things you can't? The one other piece, clearly, I think on your list, or at least as I recall, there's a master plan update due and there was some rec plans and open space plans. Those, because they require that public input, that's something that's,
yeah.
you know, pushed down the road a little bit, I think.
It is. I'm finding that all of the projects that I work on are going to probably take a little bit longer to pull off, but I think we'll be able to do things remotely, getting public input.
Mm-hmm.
So we, similar to what we're doing now, we're talking across something, you know, a media that we really, I never, you know, thought that much about before. I mean, obviously, yep. You had plenty of remote meetings in your life, but I didn't have very many until recently. So we'll be doing this. This is the new world, and we'll, you know, I'll be having a public. We always have to publicize our public hearings, so we'll be doing that. Please call in at this time, whatever. And like you mentioned, having more than one person running a meeting, I have the administrator, the host, or whatever of these meetings has to having a couple of people actually running it and keeping control of a meeting. So yes, it's time now for public input, and everybody starts talking at once. You have you have to have control of that, obviously. And with some people calling in with their personal phone, which is good, they're having input, but you can't really, you don't know that they're ready to talk until they're talking, essentially. You know, they can't put their hand up because you don't have that capacity with the phone. But I do think we're going to be doing a lot of the comprehensive plan and things of that nature. I think it will move forward. The hazard mitigation plan, we need to have one more public hearing and on that before we actually submit a draft document. And we're working on it. That's something that we have MAPC working for with us on that as far. But they will be helping us to do a remote meeting. So there'll be plenty of help on their end and to control the input and things like that.
Those kinds of meetings, the facilitation piece, and clearly they did the on-site one with us in Bellingham, and that was the first time they had done that joint planning. But they were also in a position, they've done meetings like that before, so that was good to do. Having that help, I think, will certainly be good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. The other thing is, it's funny, some of the projects that I've worked on for a little while, and then for one reason or another, we say, okay, well, put that aside for a while and focus on another new priority.
Yep,
right?
Yep. Changes.
Well, one of the things has been, I've been for 12 years or so, one of those issues is inclusionary zoning.
Yes.
And we start working on the issue, you develop a draft of a zoning bylaw, an inclusionary zoning bylaw, or you get to the point where you think, you know, now's the time, and next thing you know, for whatever reason, it gets put aside. You know, sometimes it's, well, the political climate may not be ripe. Sometimes it's something else, and for whatever reason. Well, I was really confident this time we were going to go forward with that.
Until the virus came along.
yeah. 2 days before, the Economic Development Committee, obviously we're finding out that we may not be able to work in the office that day.
Right.
And we're saying, what?
What? Oops.
You know, so, but with some, it's one of those issues that, you know, the town administrator does want to address and does want to push forward and for public comment in the very near future. So yes. I think it's something that will happen.
Sure.
That's a good example. I mean, of things that, the other thing is, here we are, we're doing a MAPC again. They're doing an economic development study, which we started months ago, but should have been done by now. And they're doing a study of the market in this area, the business climate and everything, of the way it was a year ago, 6 months ago.
Right.
We're in a new world now. So these are all great concepts that are going to be in that document, but we are in a totally, totally different world with the economy,
absolutely,
which is on its head.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not going to be like the great, the great recession that we had way back when. I mean, that hurt. It took years for the town to fully recover and for the real estate market to fully take off and the developers to be now, you know, it's probably never been stronger as far as commercial and you know, industrial type of development in Massachusetts about a year ago. Right now. We don't know what's going to happen.
No.
The projects that are that you see coming up They may just take a different shape, or they may get put on a pause for a while, or they, or that back in 10, 12 years ago, we had subdivisions and a variety of different projects that were permitted, and they were never built, or the developers started developing a subdivision and they couldn't sell the lots,
right?
Or whatever the case may be, and a lot of things happened where people lost their shirts. It took a long time to fully recover, to the point where maybe it didn't fully recover. It wasn't happening really until just 2-3 years ago. I mean, it comes right down to it in many respects.
It was a very, very gradual ramp up. Absolutely.
Yeah. It really was. It took a long time. So my hope is that it won't be that way, but we have to look for the worst. It is obviously, we have to expect that it's going to happen, that there are a lot of businesses that are going to lose their businesses. I don't know, no matter what the federal and state governments do, there are places that will close with and no fault of their own.
Yeah,
there are great businesses in town that are going to really struggle because they're, they can't have anybody in their business, essentially. Mm-hmm. If you have a service of some sort that's or product that is not considered essential, you don't have a choice. Your building is shut down. You've had to lay off most, if not everybody. If you're a restaurant, you might be able to keep some of your business going or whatever. But there are people that they can't. Yeah, that a lot of the businesses. Can't utilize, but they have to pay rent on, and they have to pay their all the bills that are coming their way have to get paid, but they don't have revenue coming in because they can't open their door. You're going to see a lot of that, and the federal government, of course, the so-called PPP, the personnel try to pay. The key is to try to keep people working with that, but they're really only 20%. Can be spent on other issues. So if a person has a $5,000 a year rent on a property, they're not going to be able to pay that without going into their, into debt a little bit or taking it from their profits or whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. those are issues that I wish I could do more than I can't do much. I mean, just the programs are out there. You can try to help people, get them together with the right people and things like that, but there's very little the town can do other than make people aware that there are programs out there.
So let's not end on a downer.
I know, huh? I just felt like I just dropped it down there. But it is hard. It's a really challenging time.
It is.
The Downtown Partnership, they're listing on their website now. Anybody, you don't have to be a member of the partnership, and you want to see what they are doing essentially for, and you can go right to their website and you have a gift card portal now and click here to view local business updates and they're really trying very hard to do that.
Yep.
Organizations like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation are giving out $5,000 grants now.
Yep.
And it does not have to be used for a specific thing. It's, as far as personnel, keeping people in, because they understand there's a gap right now
mm-hmm.
in funding that's going to come in for to help people. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of... a lot of good things that people are doing, and we're going to have to keep doing it for a good long time. This is even when we do recover, whatever that means. I'm not sure what that really means. Even if we recover, the concept of social distancing will remain, and the concept of remote meetings will be much, much, much more prevalent, and. When we go to a restaurant, are they going to have less tables in the restaurant because of this issue?
Correct.
When we go back to work.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many changes that are taking place and will take place.
Yep.
There's so much we don't know. I just hope that our business community is able to hang in there. Some will prosper. I mean, think about medical technology companies we have in town right now. Mm-hmm. They're actually doing more business today than they were a month ago.
Yeah.
But the small business that those they're hurting, and they will they're going to need our help.
Yeah, and small, depending upon which industry and or focal point they have, to your point, they're going to have to adapt. And in some cases, they may be able to, a la medical. In some cases, they may not. And that, right. to a certain extent, it's kind of the, survival of the fittest piece. It's cruel, but, you know, that's happened in the business and business cycles. Effectively, that becomes part of the business cycles over time anyway.
Sure.
And as trees fall effectively from the natural world, new trees will grow in their places. And what that world will look like, we're about to find out.
That's very true. That's very true. The last time it happened, the last couple of downs in the down cycle, I mean, it always comes around.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's doing great. And now next thing you know, what the heck happened? You know,
right.
everybody's doing terrible. Well, this was, this wasn't anybody. And I mean, sometimes you can blame it on the banks, or you can blame it on somebody. But in this case, this is everybody like in total shock that it is doing this. But
by definition,
we have to do what we're doing. But
mm-hmm.
it is so hard, and we don't know. We don't know next week what we're going to be doing in a month. It's really difficult. So
yeah.
I just hope that we're able to keep our small businesses healthy. We're always going to lose small businesses on a regular basis, like you're saying. But this
right.
is
a bigger challenge.
You lose 10% of your small businesses, and it'll take you 10 years to recover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my thought. But hopefully it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, as we kind of close up on the more positive note, continue to do what you can remotely. Wishing you and your staff, good health as we all practice the social distancing, washing hands, and all that other kind of CDC guidance. And I assume as this continues, we'll have an opportunity to have another chat to provide some other updates.
I hope so. Maybe I'll try to be more upbeat next time, right? Maybe I'll try to be,
Well, it is what it is. It's not your fault. We're all in it, and we'll get through it because we have to. We'll figure it out.
We will. We will, Steve. Appreciate it. Thank you, Steve.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.